This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
There we go. There's our sexy woman telling us to go. I so wish I could change that voice.
Surveillance in progress.
Basically.
Yeah, we got to change it. So it's like, good evening, sir. What can I do for you, sir? Can I record a podcast for you, sir?
This is Mistress X.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be Mistress Z? It doesn't matter.
I do like that better. I'm not even mentioning it.
Yeah. Well, because it's Zoom that we're using, so it'd be Mistress Z. Oh, well, now that CJ's back from being AWOL on us, he's such a slacker.
That's true.
And he didn't even tell us until the night of.
I thought I had.
Nope.
I'm so guilty of that.
Nope, not a clue.
I can honestly say
not that you were going to leave 3 days early.
But I left Wednesday at midnight.
Well, but see, you'd have had time.
What was it? Tuesday. I had to go. I forgot also that I had no nice clothes.
Well, that was Tuesday. Wednesday, if you didn't leave till midnight, we could have kept you up.
I went to bed whenever I got home.
Oh,
because we left at 2 a.m.
What a slacker.
That is true. Yeah. I'm just happy to like push off the date. It's just like, yeah, not tonight, guys. I got to go to a wedding. What are you doing today? I got to get close. Well, I went to a wedding.
What about tomorrow? This. I got to wash my hair. What about the next day? I got to dry it.
Me and my dog got to watch some TV.
Fucker.
Well, I went to a wedding like a month before and I was wearing my dress clothes. I'm like, oh my God, I can't fucking walk. I had to go like peg leg because my fucking legs are so much bigger like than when I bought jeans? Them. Oh, they were like, it felt like worse than skinny jeans.
Oh, should have just put them in the washer.
Doesn't that shrink them?
Well, after they dry, they'd be more
with wet pants. You can just pee my pants. That sounds like more fun.
It'll loosen that area up.
It would at least be warm.
I'm so glad we have a guest on this podcast for all this bullshit.
Yes. He was busy, so we had to talk about something.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should have waited and invited you to a different podcast.
You know, it's
fine.
It wouldn't have mattered.
No,
yeah,
it didn't matter which one it is.
Fair. So, for those of you who don't know, Coop is on the podcast. He's been on the podcast before a number of times. Always good to have him. Solid man, solid dude. You still have your podcast? I know it's out there, but
yeah, I still have it. I actually am working on something with I'm getting a couple folks on. I actually want to start doing some interviews and start talking to some people instead of me just rambling for 20-30 minutes. But I do have some topics that I want to put out there that I haven't quite done yet. Been going through kind of a rough time and right now, just kind of hit the tail end of it. So I'm ready to start recording again. It's been a couple months, so
yeah, that's a good point.
Probably three. So,
if you're being honest, yeah. So, I mean, like a Flame Within podcast, right?
Yeah, the Flame Within podcast.
Yeah, and you can find that wherever fine podcasts are sold. Top shelf, right next to the Barbarian Rhetoric podcast. So
exactly.
Yeah. So. Check it out. Highly encourage everybody to check it out. Good stuff. Good message. Definitely fits right. Feels right at home here on the VR
There we go. Yeah.
That I do, brother. That I do.
Tasty beverage.
Oh, beverages. Did you find this, Jimmy?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, let's just say a friend of the podcast sent me these.
These pictures?
These pictures happen to be at a place.
Okay. Let's see. Coop can't see him though, Kenny. Or did you send
him the pictures?
Sent him the pictures? Okay.
Yeah.
We're looking at bottles of soda. All right. And we're talking flavors here. Some of these I've actually had. One of them is bacon soda. I've actually had bacon soda.
You've had baking soda?
That too. But it didn't really taste like bacon. Every drink I've had that said bacon in it doesn't, it didn't really have it.
How many things have you drank with bacon in it? Like,
just a couple. There was like a bacon whiskey and then this bacon soda.
Okay.
I haven't had a lot.
You said it like you've had like
seven. No, things. It's like, yeah, like
I drank these bacon grease. Pictures were taken from a place called Mass Street Soda.
Yeah.
In Kansas.
No,
I have a question. Does the turkey have fucking tryptophan in it?
Does it make you drink the soda?
Tryptophan free or is it?
You know, I remember that. So for those listening, there's a Jones, a picture, a couple pictures that we have of various weird flavored sodas. And Jones soda, I remember that was a popular brand for a hot minute.
Still around.
Yeah. And anyway, I remember, there's one of the bottles is the turkey. What is it?
And gravy. Turkey and gravy.
Turkey and gravy soda. And I think I remember them releasing that. I never tried it, but I don't know that I'd want to. I like turkey and gravy, just not carbonated.
Well, what if you put some ketchup on it?
Yes, what if it was flat? If it was flat, would that make it better?
Oh, because there's ketchup soda right underneath that one.
Oh, God. That's what's underneath it? That's absolutely the fucking
soda. Oh, yeah, ketchup soda.
That's ketchup soda. It says right there, ketchup soda. So put a... Would these be like chasers?
A bacon soda. Oh. There's also
with maple soda. Syrup. I bet that one's better.
Oh, that's got to be the shit. I drank maple syrup right out of the bottle. If it was carbonated, oh.
I think damn the buffalo it. Wing one would be you, CJ.
I don't know. They all just sound fucking horrid.
Hey, there's a dirt soda down on the second shelf over here, too. Dirt. Barf.
Barf.
Oh, that's
barf. Actually have a soda.
Barf. Horchata bacon.
You see that Doomsday Illuminate?
Yeah.
What's this run one? Green bottle. Like smuggler or smuggle? All I'm thinking is like the...
It's a tropical. It's Smuggler's Run. And it says tropical. Oh. I think it's a tropical soda.
Is that one cottage cheese?
It almost looks like... it's hard to say.
Man.
Oh. Anyway, it's just weird. Like these weird sodas. Like, could you imagine what that butter soda tastes like?
No. I kind of don't want to.
You know, no. Dude, actually, go ahead, Coop.
I would buy all of these just to see what they tasted like. Like I would literally, I'm intrigued.
Now the butter soda, that I would probably mix with some rum.
Okay, that wouldn't be terrible.
Possibly, like a hot buttered rum, have like a rum and soda. Yeah. I could that could work. I think if you figured out the right alcohols to mix some of these with, they wouldn't be too bad.
They could put the bacon with the whiskey and really have bacon whiskey. Bacon whiskey soda.
But there's a rum, a dark rum that I have. that's really like, I haven't had it in a while. I got half a bottle left and I made a Dark and Stormy, and just the rum, like there was such a strong caramel like flavor or note to it. So you, that dark rum and that butter soda, now that you say that, Nate,
maybe these are mixing drinks. I don't know what to put ketchup in though for now. I don't know.
Garbage.
Eat it with some fries.
Could you make a poor man's Bloody Mary with that? So some vodka, ketchup, and maybe add Tabasco or something, like, so it's like a CJ, vodka soda.
You're making faces. You got to remember he drinks those celery things.
Oh, God.
Share that.
Just thinking of that just makes me want to throw up.
Oh, yeah. Celery. So muddled celery. Vodka. Tabasco. And then the tomato. It depends on what the ketchup soda tastes like. But you could make a poor man's Bloody Mary.
So you're going to purchase all of these and give us some feedback over the holidays? We got all the major holidays coming up in the next 3 months, so
I'm going to be so fucking busy.
And you're closer maybe to there, that place than I am.
Yeah. But the, yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
I may have connections. I did the same connection also provided, picked up a ginger beer that's really good. It's called the Cock and Bull.
Yep.
Highly recommend the brand. It's basically why it was bought, because it was Cock and Bull. But then there's a couple other ones, so have to try that. Made a Kentucky mule. Basically a Moscow mule with whiskey or bourbon. Sorry. It's a Maker's Mark. It was really good. So anyway, it's just kind of crazy. Like, I know they make this shit, but it's just funny. Have you made
any bad drinks lately?
Not that I can.
Okay. Because you've been telling us a lot of good drinks over the last several podcasts. I was just wondering if you made any bad concoctions that you remember.
There hasn't been one I've come across that I've gone, oh, that's terrible. There may be some that I've made that's like, whoa, that's strong.
Well, strong. But
none that are, yeah, none that are terrible. So
I usually get the, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, admittedly, the celery gimlet sounds a little crazy, but it's not bad. Yeah. Also made an arugula one. That's not bad either. So
you're not getting any better, pal.
That's like a $10 word. You're going to use that with me and CJ. Coop knows what that word is, but us two, no. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is that a garnish on a sandwich?
Salad for lunch today, right? No. Negatory.
Negatory.
The look says it all. Oh. Negatory, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
Off our last podcast, Coop, Jimmy G has this group of people and they keep coming up with these words to stump each other or something, a whole list of things. Did you get to post the last one we came up with?
Not yet. I think
use it?
Yeah, in the next week or two, I'll be able to use it.
Cool. We actually get what the came word up is. With, what is it? Words that you guys have never seen before or something?
Yeah, we have it at work going back to 2015, 2013. We have it. There's like four or five of us that anytime we come across words that we haven't seen, like we just send out, it's like a word of the week. So, and each of us, there's seven of us or something like that. And so every week somebody sends out a different word, but they've kept track of every word. And if you try and repeat, then you get called out for being a bitch and have to resubmit a new word. So
we helped Jimmy find a new word. It was like, what, some kind of tree or animal or something. All off of what was it?
The weird high school mascots and shit.
Yeah. Weird mascot. We couldn't even pronounce the word, so.
It's pronounced Chinkapin, but it's spelled Chinkupin.
Yeah. You know that team, don't you, Coop? The Chinkapins?
Yeah. I do not.
See, our Texas folks know it because I think that's where it was from. But
yeah,
you got to brush up on your high school mascots.
So for the next podcast, get your shit together, Coop. Anyway,
I do need to.
What else we got?
All right,
you know, I will say this. You know, an hour and a half notice would. You know, but give me just a little bit more lead time, brother. And you know, yeah. I'll be prepared. I'll be prepared we'll as fuck.
Fair.
You didn't give him the review.
Hey, he's lucky I didn't make him sing the BR song and give his testimony, his barbarian testimony.
My barbarian testimony.
While you're drinking, Dusty. You know, you gotta do it all at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, hell. Well, from what we were talking earlier, actually pulls into a couple of our questions. And I think these two kind of go hand in hand. One is knowing your worth. And the second part of it is, they say the measure of a man is what he shows the world, but what he hides from it. And thoughts on that, because I think they blend together a little bit. What do you show the world compared to, you know, what others see or what you have hid behind?
And at first, when I heard this, this is actually a quote from a TV show, The Blacklist with James Spader. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but he plays a fugitive, like the FBI's most wanted. And so he's an anti-hero in the show. It's actually really, I mean, it's James Spader. You can't go wrong with the man. But he says, you know, his character is shady and all of that. And so he says this in a solemn kind of moment, that the line, they say the measure of a man isn't what he shows the world, but what he hides from it. And at first, I wrote some notes here. At first, I thought it's true, but it only applies to folks who have their shit together. In the way I heard it or the moment I heard it, I was thinking, yeah, because you kind of keep your plans to yourself. Like, nobody really knows, right? You hold your cards close to your chest, regardless of what, you know, your plans for world domination. You're not going to let anybody know. All those sorts of things. So you keep those things close to your chest. But then the more I thought about it, it's like, no, really, everybody does. You know, how many people hide so much shit from the world? We hide all our garbage. We don't want to, you know, we put stuff out on social media to paint this picture of shit that really isn't there. And so, where I originally went with it, when I heard it, and the more I thought about it, it's like, no, we really do. How much do we really hide from the world? It's, and how terrible, you know, I mean, if you think about it, right. And this ties into something that we were talking about in the green room before we started the podcast, like, are men, you know, worse off, not worse off, but, you know, we've all been on a journey of fixing ourselves, fixing our lives, or getting our shit together, and how, you know, and it certainly seems like there's dudes today that are worse off than when we started our own journeys, you know, like just who across started the board
at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair point. So it's, you know, are men worse off, and all the shit that we're we're hiding, that we're not even honest with ourselves, let alone other people. If everyone really saw all that stuff, you know, how bad, you know, what would people really think of us? Anyway, just that'd be interesting to talk about for sure. But just thought I'd add that.
I think if you look back, into like 40s, 50s, and 60s, like people didn't air their shit, right? Like there was like, you never saw behind the curtain, right? Like unless people were close-hold with their shit and they were guarded with their shit, right? They didn't want the world to know who they really were, especially guys who, you know, were beating their wives. Nobody really gave a shit back then. Nobody really cared. What went on in the man's house was what went on in the man's house, and that was his fucking business, right? I mean, that was the deal. I mean, I think by and large that, you know, a society has changed. You know, there's been so many different things that have changed. Social media, where you only show the highlights of your life. You're only really showing like the good shit. You're not showing the bad shit. You're not showing, you know, your addictions. You don't have to tell people about that shit. You don't have to tell people about that shit because they're not seeing it. And if they don't see it, then it doesn't exist, right? And this is what we've built up in our minds. This is, you know, like you could have the guy with the nicest car, the fucking the nicest clothes, and he lives in squalor. You know, like he lives with, you know, he lives with a woman who is a fucking like cat lady, and she's a hoarder, and his house is a complete mess. That's stuff that people don't want you to see, right? So they're not going to show you that. But, you know, like he may take some pictures of himself at the gym or in his, you know, his nice BMW or whatever. I don't think that much has changed in that aspect, as much as us highlighting the good, because you didn't see the good in homes back in the day either, but you didn't see the bad. But now all you're seeing is the highlights. All you're seeing is the good shit. You know, happy, smiley family, and, you know, the next thing you know,
well, I think they did show that back then, Coop. Like that was like the parties back then. You know, I'm thinking a lot of the parties that like my grandparents or parents did. That's when everybody put a smile on the face. The family didn't have any arguments. That was their little social media. That was their fake time. Everyone had a grin no matter what was going on. So it was like the party or coming to church or whatever. And everybody is showing how good their things are, and then yeah, you got all this shit going on at home. It's just not plastered to everyone. It was just community. So I think there was still some of that, but I'm still in line. They held everything closer to the chest. I don't disagree with that part at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a certain amount of, you know, the guy was in the charge, and there was a certain amount of that, and there was no like actual like. Yeah. And get a lot of resistance. You don't have, you know, the social media. You don't have all that other bullshit that comes out. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I think you're right in the aspect that, like, you know, going to the parties, that was their social media. That was how they caught up with one another. That's how they communicated. And that's what they saw was the smiles on the face. And, you know, they didn't see all the other bullshit. They weren't really seeing the highlights of their lives either, unless they sat them all down for a fucking slideshow or something. You know what I mean? So, I mean, which is, you know, always possible, but you know, slideshow. You're like, you know, you call it a slide.
Oh, I know.
Slideshow of our vacation. No, fuck that, dude.
The last time I saw my mom over the holidays, she gave me a box of slides from like when I was born and stuff. They're from the mid-1970s. And I'm like, I don't even have a projector to look at the. I'm trying to like hold them up to the light because they're little one-by-one-by pictures. It's like I need to go somewhere and buy the machine so I can run them through there.
Slides. Such an old reference. You know what slides are, CJ?
my slippers.
Fucker.
I know that.
Yes, I remember his slides. Yes, barely. They had them in my elementary, and I think it was one of those things that they barely use, but they use sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. So you've been scarred by them also.
They just don't. They compare to what how everything looks now. It's ridiculous.
I agree.
If I'm correct, is that like you push the button and it goes to the next slide?
Uh-huh. It goes. Ksh-ksh.
Yep.
It drops one and brings it up. That, and then it goes, has that like big round thing where you put 100 of them in there.
Yeah.
Carousel.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Old school PowerPoint.
Yeah. We had that till I was like in second grade. I do remember when the computers were green.
When I think maybe it was in kindergarten, like first grade, like somewhere in that early elementary school, they had one of those old slide projectors where it's basically almost one at a time. You put a slide in and you pull this thing across, and then they load up the next slide, and then when it's time to move to the next one, they slide it back over, so then this slide is up and they switch out.
A lot of work. That was derailment down memory lane.
Yeah. And spend the rest of the time talking about cultural references. But you know, it is crazy to think about what we hide from.
Well, but I think this goes into the other part, which we've not hit. It's like knowing your own worth. I think there's a balancing act. If you know your own worth, your actions will show louder than your words type. It's a lot, only other thing, you know, it's like, okay, meet up, show up, you know, what I'm trying to think, like the guy going to the gym, taking all the pictures on Instagram and stuff, but then you actually meet him in person and he looks like shit because he was photoshopping and everything or doing stuff like that. There's
real receipts.
Yeah. There's no real receipts. It's like, show me some real receipts type thing, but you have to know your own worth because there hits some points, you know, you can only help others out when you get yourself fixed to a certain degree. You can kind of help each other along, but if you're the blind leading the blind, you can't really help the next guy because you got to find someone that's farther along the line. But I think that's part of what do I show the world? You know, does the world know my finances? Besides my banker and a few other places? No, you know, they don't know how I'm doing or well. Okay. I don't have a McMansion and a $500,000 car and blowing all that out. Is my worth less than the person that does? It depends on how you determine worth
or how you feel about yourself.
Depends on what do you value?
Yeah. And how much comes from virtual signaling to value your own value system, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point, because you could lie to the world, right? Like, oh, I'm fine, everything's great. And then, right, I either come to you or, you know, disappear for months and then come back, you know, I'm divorced, I'm 300 pounds, you know, I lost my house, I'm living in, you know, in my car underneath the...
You were the one in that tent under the... I thought that was you underneath
I waved
that
at you.
Okay.
Why didn't you wave back?
I did. I flipped you off.
Yeah. Give me the one finger salute. Yeah. Fair. But, you know, there's... Certainly there's a monetary worth, but when I see this, I think of, you know, just your like value as a man, right? That goes beyond how much money you actually make, just the caliber of person you are. But you have to put in that, you almost have to I mean, you can know your worth and not put in an ounce of work, but then you have wouldn't you have an inflated sense of that worth, the real worth?
It's like the talent not working hard.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you can fake it, right? You can fake it to other people, but when the rubber hits the road, when something, you know, like Nate would say, when you actually see somebody or just work with somebody or you're around somebody for a while, you kind of get a sense that what they've said, what they projected to the world, and what they say they are and what they really are, are incongruous.
Guys that like know their own worth are solid. I mean, even in this, you know, by what they hide or whatever, it's when you start having multiple conversations and then they ask dumb, simple questions. And you're like, wait, what? If you got your shit together, why are you even asking me that question? Because that's like a 99 class.
Should I lift weights?
Yeah. You know, it's like, should I even, or even simpler, should I even exercise? You know, but you could take somebody that goes rock climbing that goes, I never exercise. Yeah, but you rock climb. No, I rock climb, but I don't do exercise. And you're like, okay.
Tomato.
For a run.
Yeah, you know, you get someone like that or whatever that they're just. But
dumb question requires a dumb solution.
Yeah, it's like the simple basics.
What do you think prevents guys from? Because there are some guys who are even somewhat put together. Let's say like you're not a total disaster, but you put in some work. You spent some time, and there are some receipts. But maybe you don't realize there's a lack of confidence, or you don't realize what your worth is, right? Because there are guys that have done some work, but then in their relationship or their marriages, whatever, but you kind of have this almost false belief of who you are, who you really like, you know. Nate, you've mentioned this before, and maybe Coop too, where, you know, you guys at one point weighed a fair amount and were out of shape. We're a couple of tubby dudes. You guys fixed your shit, but then you guys started.
Yeah, he just called us fat, Coop. Yeah. Without but using then, the fat word.
It's the best word.
But then you, like, well, no. But then you guys, you guys are in shape, you're lean and all that sort of stuff, but then you're starting to put on even more muscle. Like, even if you're putting on more muscle, but it's more weight, like you're back up to 252, whatever the numbers are. And in your head, you're thinking, oh, geez, like I'm becoming big. This is too much weight kind of thing. Like there's that shadow of who you were before kinds of things. And I know you've talked about that before. And so there are guys out there that don't understand my point is there are guys out there that don't understand their worth or don't truly know that. And what prevents, is it just their confidence or their lack of changing their beliefs? Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe it's not even a thing, but it's a question that popped in my head. So
no, I get what you're saying. Like, because thanks for pointing that out, Jimmy, that I'm a former fat guy.
Appreciate that. Anytime I can humiliate you and throw you under the bus.
You said chubby, come on.
chubby's a nice word for fat. That's okay. That's a good word, though, chubby.
You didn't use thick. Very... Did you notice that? That was the only word you didn't thick. Use.
Thick.
With three C's.
A little thick, a little chubby, you know. Whatever you want to call it.
No, I think what, you know, like being seriously, being a former fat guy, I can completely relate. So I went out of bulk and I was up at, I was up to 234 at one point. And I was freaking the fuck out because I was just like, this is more than I weighed at my biggest when I was a fat guy. So I was just like, holy shit. And then I was easily able to take off like 20, 21, 22 pounds. Of, I think the last time I weighed in was like 211. And the weight's slowly coming back off, but I did that with a purpose, like, and I'm trying to retain as much muscle as I can. So it's a process that you have to go through your head mentally.
It's a little mind fuck.
Yeah, it is a mind fuck. It absolutely is. Because like, I mean, like I was wearing like double extra large shirts for a while. Like I like, and I only bought like three or four shirts and I was wearing the same shirt all the time. Cause I was like, I don't want to buy like all these like triple double extra large fucking shirts. I mean, they look like tents on me at some point, like they're going to look, and I'm never going to wear them again. So, you know, it kind of got to the point where I was only wearing like three or four pairs of shirts, three or four shirts and like maybe two pairs of jeans. Cause like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to go buy like bigger jeans or anything like that. But you get that fear and, but you know, I'm 211 now, like my biggest weight was 225 and I look, Even when I was like 225, it was completely different 225 from the fat guy. So, and that's what you kind of have to remember. And you have to kind of like, sometimes you got to reach back and look at that fat guy picture, even as much as you abhor it, you have to look back and go, okay, this is not the same dude. We are not the same. Because so much has changed about my life and so much, especially physically, mentally, and emotionally, like I've changed so much and evolved so much that you have to go back and reach back and take a look at that and go, okay, this is not the same. This isn't the same thing. Chill the fuck out. Quit being a bitch and just stick to the plan. And cause you know, I called Phil a couple of times. I'm like, dude, he's like, stick with it. He's like, I promise you. And now, all the strength that I gained, I don't want to lose that. But as I slowly start to cut back down, I'm going to lose some of that strength. And now I'm afraid of losing that strength. So it's kind of like it's a give and take and
the dichotomy.
Yeah, dude, it really like, is.
I want to look good, but I want to be strong. Okay, bud, you got to find a balance in there.
yeah, you got to find a balance. So, I mean, like I'm cut to 200, and then I'm going to stay 200 until beginning of January, and then I'm going to probably go down to like 175, 180.
I want to be Ronnie Coleman or Dorian Yates off season strong, but Dorian Yates competition looks like, you know, like I want to be 1,000 pounds.
I think Yates was like when he was, I think he was like competing at like 260, wasn't he? Like right around that.
It was like the first one over 250, I believe.
He was, and he was ripped. I mean, like, I'm sure, you know, some trend had something to do with that. And
fuck, Ronnie was walking on stage at 300 pounds, skinless.
Just, I mean, ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, buddy. But,
is it that fear of, or is it more that we don't realize how far we've come?
Well, here at this, Jimmy, this might answer it. I think some guys get stuck in their fear. And that will bring you down, because if you go up in kind of like me or Coop, you start going on a bulk, you start adding weight. You're like, oh, I don't want to be the fat guy again. And you made a good point. You got to look at the fat picture compared to the muscle picture. But I think people get stuck in that loop of that fear and they won't be able to, they either need someone to help pull them out of it or they haven't figured out a way to pull it out themselves. You know, it's like, well, even Coop called someone, you know, called Phil. Hey, da 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 da. Nope. Trust the process.
Stay on target. Yeah. Stay on target.
Well, I think the fear for me was more than the physical. It's more than the physical, because it's you're saying like, okay, I'm up, you know, I'm up to 233, 234. You know, am I going to turn into the guy I was before? And it's not just the physical guy. It was the guy with the fucking weak mentality. Yeah, with the weak mentality, with no discipline, with, you know, am I going to turn into that guy? Yeah, nice guy with the nice guy mentality. That was more fearful for me than being the fat guy.
You didn't work that hard just to go back to where you were.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it.
But that's the part I'm going with that you get stuck in. It's like the weight part or the physical side, a lot of times, because that's so easy and other people see it, that starts you down what you just described, Coop, and people will fall down that rabbit hole. And I think they get stuck down in there. Oh, I'm back to being da-da-da. No. You've made strides. You know, you got to call up that buddy or friend and be like, you've made strides. You aren't that guy. You're following a plan now. You know, you need that backbone of friendship. Maybe that's just it. You got to have that backbone of friendship just to have the other guy, you know, have your back type kind of thing, telling it, no, you're doing good. You're getting there.
And I agree with that. I agree with that completely, because had it not been for Phil, I probably would have quit right around 220.
Right.
Like I probably would have just called it quits. I called it quits when I was getting winded walking up a flight of stairs.
Yeah, same.
I'm like,
pulling the door into the gym's too hard. I'm out.
Oh my God. I felt that way this last weekend. We went disc golfing in Colorado. And we were like on the third hole. I'm like, why am I tired? I'm out of fucking breath. First of all, I'm in Colorado and I am not as small as I was last time I was in Colorado. I'm like 30 pounds heavier. I'm like, good fucking God. Like, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. You're like gasping for air.
I was trying not to show it.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I feel great. Oh my God.
See, that's where you got to take the jokester approach, CJ. You'd be like, does anybody have any oxygen? What? I could use some.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, Nate, I think it is important to have people, guys, that you trust. Maybe it's not so much, I mean, obviously to call if you have a question, like we talk about this all the time, you know, your network is important, building those relationships, those connections. So you have a guy for that, not just an app for that. But at the same time too, there's also a piece of that where, you know, if we get together, even if it's been a while or it's been a, you know, 48 hours or it's been 4 months, we get together and it's like, holy shit, Jim, you look like garbage. Like, what the fuck? Right. You'd call me out. Right. If I wasn't keeping up or if I wasn't maintaining some sort of standard, like, or even just in conversation, if I'm talking about my marriage, I'm talking about this, I'm talking about my kids, just all these things that are falling apart. You guys would catch that and go, holy shit, Jim, where the fuck did this shit go off the rails kind of thing, and smack me out of it, either literally or figuratively.
Don't be that guy divorcing his wife for 10 years.
No, really, I'm divorced.
Yeah, I'm divorced. Wait, next time. Yeah, I'm talking to the lawyer. What? You know?
Yeah,
it can be a long, drawn out process. I can understand that. I drug mine out longer than it needed to be. But at the same time, you know, I mean, we were talking physical, talking divorce. Those are easy topics, but that could be, it could be with anything, you know. I need to start a emergency fund. You know, see a guy, talk to him 6 months later. How's your emergency fund doing? I need to get that started. Dude, put 10 bucks a week into it. You know,
put a buck in it.
I could have taken to you, you know, there's 52 weeks in the year. You could have had up $520 saved up for your emergency fund. You went on a couple of cruises? Yeah. Okay. You know, it's a priority thing, but it's all those little things. And yeah. I don't know. We took a turn in there, something from knowing you. But I think that shows it, though. It's like your mental stability ends up showing you your worth, even on a personal level. And then turning it around, that even goes back to the comment of the, you know, they say the measure of a man. It's like, okay, what they're spewing out or whatever. It's like you almost got to get it to know them personally to find out what the real worth is. And then if they'll help you or what are they going to do with you? And from that point, work their way forward. And social media skews that. Skews that hard, even with people you think you know. Because I know some characters that it's like on one social platform, they got all their shit together and everything. And then on another social platform, they're talking about how their life is hell. You know, it's like you want to call them out on it and go, well, which one is it? Is your life hell or is everything good and you're a rock star? It's like
they're a life coach.
Yeah, they're a life coach over here, but they're asking for help on this one. It's like you can't have both. And then it's like at one time I wanted to call people out like that. I wanted to go after them. But really, what's all that doing? It's holding me back.
Worth your fucking time.
Yeah, yeah. I waste because they're not going to listen to me because you know, they're like a 16-year-old kid that I love that thinks he knows everything, you know?
Shots fired. Holy
shit. He's a professional.
Just ask. And welcome
Coop, with your daughter. Time with did that me. Happen when she turned 16? Did she know everything or is that just a guy thing?
No, actually, so you know, girls mature a little bit quicker. So I was around 13.
So I got another year. Awesome.
And I mean, she's still, I mean, like she's 19. So she, and she's still got a handle on it. She still, you know, she still knows it all. So,
okay. Mine really didn't.
It I don't know, started stubborn. A little bit at 15. I wonder where she gets that from.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
No clue.
Okay. At least, guys, it starts later then, and then you only have them for a couple more years. Okay. Fair enough. Jimmy is doubly screwed.
Yeah.
So one turns 13 next year.
Yep.
And how fast is the other one coming up?
She's not quite. Basically 2 years behind.
2 years behind. Wow. You're gonna
so double whammy.
Yeah, your life is hell. Show a man's worth, and I just feel bad for you.
Well, and that and then
pretty much his word's worthless now.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then there's other things to deal with here sooner rather than later, because then I'll have two of them with, you know, that thing that shows up every month.
Yeah, that's always fun. That's always fun. Usually, yeah, and like it's not like you can't kick inflow out any earlier. Just it's to take, like inflow comes and goes once you want, so it's, you can't kick her out.
Yeah.
But I feel that pain. I feel all of it, and I get it. Like I get it. It's not really that difficult to deal with, because if you know it's coming, it's like, you know, knowing your wife's cycle or whatever, you can kind of tell, like, you know. But I'll just say this, man, enjoy that fine ass head of hair that you have right now, because in 7 years, 6 years, it's gonna be gone. He's going to be doing a little comb over.
See, I still have mine. That's the good part about having a son. I kept all mine.
I got all mine. So.
Is that the difference between having boys and girls? If you have a boy, your hair grows gray. If you have girls, it's just gone.
I think so. You know,
I still have mine,
science, though. Bitch.
No, they haven't hit the teen years yet, Jimmy. That's what Scoop was just got done saying. And you're going to get a double whammy from both of them.
Yeah, double barrel shotgun. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I get that.
Monthly.
Yeah, it'll be a hoot. I'm sure especially my youngest, because she's the pistol. So I'm sure that's going to be lots of fun. While you guys were talking earlier, and kind of getting back on topic, I was thinking, or I had a thought, right? How many guys talk, you know, like they talk a good game, like, oh, everything's great. Like, they, you know, kind of the measure of a man is not what he should, you know, being what he shows versus what he hides kind of thing. How many men, you know, where their lives really are not that great, maybe they're terrible, but, you know, often it's just they're it's not that bad,
right?
But their relationship, their marriage isn't that great. They know they're not in that great of shape and all that stuff, but they talk a good game. Like, they're presenting to the world, it's like, I'm going to tell you everything's great because I'm trying to convince myself more than anything else. And but what they hide is all underneath all that talk is all the problems that, you know, they're unhappy at their job, their marriage or relationship with their girlfriend or spouse is terrible. The relationships with their kids isn't even there. Maybe they're financially screwed, like all those sorts of things. But then on the flip side, dudes who have put in the work, who have, you know, turned things around, right? They may not talk as much. They'll stay, they may say a few words, but maybe it's more the example that just their actions, what they do. And then what they hide isn't so much their problems, but it's all the work that they've done, all the things that they do to try and, or, you know, even some of the, maybe it's some of the fears or worries that they have. Oh, I may end up being this guy again, or I may be, you know, it's a different thing that they're hiding from everybody. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's kind of almost the inverse, right? There's the guy who's totally screwed, but tries to hide it by talking a good game. And then there's the dudes that have their shit together, but what they hide is all the sort of the shit that got them there, or the work that they do that you never see that got their life squared away in the first, you know, if that makes sense.
Becoming a billionaire, but not all the thousands of work it took to get there.
Well, sure. I mean, that could certainly be part of it, but I'm just thinking, you know, we've all done the work, but if you really got to know us and, you know, some of the more, I suppose, vulnerable parts of us, the things that we think about, the things that we're focusing on, the things that we kind of hide from the world, or higher level things, that because they're not necessarily shit. I don't know. I have these addictions. I have these sorts of things. Whereas the dude who's trying to, who talks about it too much, you can almost tell, oh, things are really good. Seems like they're a little too good. And like you said, I'm still divorcing my wife for the last 10 years kind of thing, even though stuff like that, if that makes sense. And then where does that come from? And why are we just afraid to face those things? Like, we'd rather come up with reasons why, or blame it on others.
I think our society, a large portion of our society, wants to blame somebody else for their problems.
That's actually why I called you guys here.
Intervention.
My life sucks and it's all your fault.
Again?
You're welcome.
Yeah. Hey, I don't want to blame myself, so I'm going to blame you guys.
At least last time you bought us drinks, damn.
I'll send you some in the mail.
Okay, cool. Oh,
maybe that celery bullshit
with ketchup Bloody Mary. I lost my train of thought.
You're welcome.
What's that comment, Jimmy? You're on a roll. I had it right there.
We were talking about basically why we hide, you know,
They want to blame somebody else for their own problems instead of fixing themselves and taking responsibility.
Yeah, because taking responsibility is uncomfortable. You want to feel safe. You want to blame somebody else. It makes you feel like you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to do. But if you blame yourself, then you have to realize you are the problem. That's not fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like CJ coming in dead the second last on his golfing tournament. You know, it was
second to dead last.
Again?
I was tied with three people. So last time I was tied with one person. So we're not moving up, but we're not moving back.
But you know, it's like, oh, I don't have good enough equipment. The wind was off for me. The wind was better for him.
Sun was in my eyes.
You know,
yes, it was.
Not that you're a crappy freaking golf player, but that'd be like me going, oh, CJ, let me show you how to do this. I never even thrown one of those things. You know, it's like, that'd be like, oh, I don't think you're angling it right. That'd be like me sitting here trying to tell him that he's holding the thing wrong at the angle or whatever. And I've never even thrown one.
Is that just laziness, or is it the fear? Like, there's that fear of, or I don't know, shame or whatever, that we have to admit that we're the problem, or at least we're part of the problem, and we just don't want to face that. Is that really where that comes from?
Possibly.
I would say.
I mean, it's maybe different for everybody.
Because anytime you feel shameful, you feel like you let other people down too. It's not. I mean, I don't know really what I'm trying to say.
Well, maybe we know deep down the truth, right? And that's why. And rather than face it, like really deal with it head on.
Hey, the inside of the house looks like shit, but if we paint the outside, all our neighbors will think we're doing
fantastic.
All right.
Curb appeal. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though it's rotted and molded on the inside. I think that could be a lot.
It could be a lot.
I mean, I've talked about this on a previous podcast. I remember we were doing a tree job and my uncle talked, it was in a Richie neighborhood of a certain community. We went in there and my uncle's like, come here, you got to see this. And they got like BMWs and Volvos or whatever fancy cars sitting. And they don't put them in the garage. They put them out in the driveway so you can see them. Well, we walked up to the house and we're looking in the windows. We were peeping a little bit. But the guy had a small like 20-inch little basic flat screen TV sitting on a couple cardboard boxes with an air mattress over in the corner.
Seriously.
The kitchen had paper plates and silverware sitting on the counter. And I think that place had stools. And basically this is like a 5 or 6 bedroom McMansion that was empty. And it wasn't like the guy, you know, he had a TV and a little airbed with his fancy car out front. And, you know, my uncle made him pay up front to get the tree down just because he wasn't sure that, you know, a check wouldn't bounce type thing. You know, who knows how far, because he wanted to look rich. He wanted to look wealthy. But, you know, go live within your means type thing. You know, it's like the physical and money aspects are really easy to talk about because they're so visual. But I think
they're obvious.
Yeah, they're very obvious. But at the same time, I think mental and like spiritual sides are like the harder ones to show your worth on, but have more meaning. You know.
Yeah, overcoming your insecurities.
Yeah,
like. Like Coop was saying, when you think of yourself in that way, right? And oh, I'm getting, and it's like, oh, I'm turning into that guy. I'm turning, you know, it's those sorts of insecurities, that guy I was, the nice guy, the whatever, all those sorts of things. And then you, yeah. Anyways, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Keep
but,
going.
But I'm thinking about, like, you know, there's, and I remember reading about this a lot, and I'm sure there still are, like surfers. You know, they're living out of van before van life was a thing, or camper life. They live out in the van, and their whole life revolved around surfing.
Waves, yep.
Catch that first wave, and then, oh, I got to go get a little part-time job because I want a new board, or I need a little gas, or I need a little – they'd go work, but their whole life. So their whole worth was, can they catch that next wave? They weren't a piece of shit and not productive to society. It's just they wanted to go surf. They did whatever they had to go surf. Rock climbers are another group that, you know, it's like surfers, rock climbers, a lot of other. These guys are all fit. They just don't fit in the normal vein of society. You know, they're not the office drone, whatever. They're just there. And most of them are damn near homeless and broke. You know, they using their parents' address so just so they can get a plate on their van or vehicle or something. But are they really behind the guy that's, you know, like I was talking about, that has the McMansion with nothing in it? Who has the better life? Who's to determine that? And that's kind of going back to your, you know, knowing your worth.
You know, like you said, like, what do you value? What do you, or one of you guys said, what do you value? What's important?
Yeah, I think we also make certain assumptions. So you got the surfer dude and, you know, he's probably getting laid probably, you know, 100 times more than the guy in the McMansion. But what we don't know about the guy in the McMansion is that his fucking wife left him, and he's stuck in that fucking McMansion because she left. She took all his shit, and, you know, he's got the cars and all that shit, but that's just fucking remnants from the fucking marriage that he had, and that fell apart, and the wife left him, and she didn't, you know, she only took one of the fucking six cars or whatever they had. And now he's sitting there with fucking nothing, with his hand in his dick, doing, you know, trying to figure out what the fuck went wrong, you know?
Right.
So
good point.
I mean, so I think we make certain assumptions, but yeah, I think we can safely assume his life fucking sucks. Like, well, I mean,
losing,
like,
all that shit isn't going to be fun.
No, but the surfer guy, he's, you know, that's freedom for him.
There's nothing you can really take from except the waves.
Right.
And then his board, that would be right? The worst thing that you could do to him.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and as far as, you know, your value goes, that is determined by you. Like, knowing your worth, it's like, what do I value? What do I want from my life? Do I give a fuck all about what society says? Because the guy in the big mansion who just got fucking divorce fucked and divorce raped, you know, he didn't want that for his life, I'm sure. You know, but the guy in the fucking van who's fucking living in, you know, Southern California catching waves, like, he's having the time of his fucking life. This is exactly what he wanted out of his life. You know, like, you know, pounding all the bikini chicks down there, you know, like, who's got the better life? I mean, that, you know, things happen and things go sideways. But at the same time, you know, guy in McMansion, he needs to realize and own up to the fact that he's in that position because he chose wrong, or he made some really poor fucking decisions, or he's still making some really poor decisions no matter how he got there. No matter, like, if you're living in a fucking big ass house and you have no furniture in it, you know, it's crazy to me. But you've made some poor decisions. If you have, like, the BMWs in the garage, and when you probably should be driving a Honda, maybe throwing a couch in there or something a little bit better to sleep on than an air mattress. But, you know, is that, I mean, I think we project our best lives, or what we believe our best lives, onto other people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And what we believe, because that's something that I've had to really kind of like deal with, is just like, you know, I see some dude and I'm just like, God, that dude needs to get in shape. Who's to say that guy hasn't lost 60 pounds? Who's to say, like, is, you know, there are
things. You're seeing him now. You didn't see him
6 months
a year ago or 6 months ago.
But I also know guys that I've seen that, you know, like, okay, let's talk COVID, you know, 2 years ago, who gained, you know, another 60 pounds. I'm like, where the fuck is he putting? Where did that go? How did that, like, where on his body did he have it to fit? You know what I mean? And you know, you have to question for me personally. Like, I had to question, like, how is that his best life? You know, because
are you happy with that?
Right, exactly. Are you happy? And like, go to any mall in America, any fucking store, any restaurant, Walmart. Any place where you just see Walmart, wherever it is you want to go, and you see guys that are just, they look flat out fucking miserable. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, they're with their hippo wife and their hippo selves, and it's astonishing to me how they can believe, you know, that they're living their best lives. But maybe that's who they want to be. Maybe that's their best. That's they're bringing their best. I don't know. I mean, am I projecting my shit onto them? Like, I don't want that. I would never want that. Yeah. Like, I knew when I was 225, I wasn't living my best life. I knew I wasn't. But maybe they are, because now, you know, they came from dick all, and they can afford to take the wife to the fucking like greasy spoon two nights a week or over to the trough or wherever, and they're happy as fuck. You know? I mean,
this is shit on there, the parade, really. They're happy.
Damn, I'm so glad you came onto the podcast, Coop. Just bringing the heat.
You go to any restaurant, it's like a fucking cattle call. I mean, yes. Let's be honest. Like, I was at one the other day, and I was like, Jesus Christ. You know, I
was at a diner the other day, and not that I go out all this much, but I sat down at the table, and that's what across from me. You couldn't lean back in the booth and put your hands on it because there was so much space. It was like, if I had slid the table either way, but it was like, so I had to lean forward off the thing because I'm like, these are made for fat people. It's all that just went through my head was, it's like, I'm too small to eat here or something. It's like, what the hell? I need to get a chair so I can adjust my own spot. You know, it used to be where I was too big to like crawl into something, you know, since I have a little bit of height and I'd like to have leg room and stuff. I know you guys understand that problem.
I wonder how us regular people would get in there.
Yeah, could you imagine me sitting at that table?
Exactly.
I was thinking, if you're having trouble, I don't even want to know how much trouble I'm going to have.
Yeah. But it was like, it went right to my mind. These are set up for, they like spread everything apart so fat people could sit in here.
Just wider benches and
yeah.
I mean, you see it everywhere. You see the bigger shirts, like even the mannequins are fucking fat.
Yep.
They're making fatter mannequins. Like, so this is how it'll look on you. Like,
yeah, no.
Buying that shit.
Well, that's one reason why.
I see why you had a problem with the 2X shirts then.
Well, that's like,
I started going to the XLs and I felt, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But Carhartt shirts quit making things. They made them for fat people. It's like I'd find a shirt that I would fit me in the shoulders, and it would, I could put like three of me in it. And it's like, no, it's like I kept looking for like a slim shirt and a good quality. Couldn't find it.
It's definitely all over. If somebody came to you guys and said, hey, what do I need to do to, you know, understand my worth or I don't know. I don't know that you could teach that or tell somebody that, but if somebody was looking, how do I determine my worth? How do I know? How do I increase it? How do I, like, what, like somebody who's just right. Who's
like going, ready to learn.
Yeah. Assuming they're ready to learn. And that's a huge assumption in and of itself, but let's assume that they're ready and willing to learn regardless of whatever they have to work on. What would you guys say, or what would you guys tell somebody?
I think you have to ask them two very important questions. What do you value? Like, what do you value in your life? Like, what do you believe would make you a fucking worthwhile person? What makes you a worthwhile man? I think that's the first question you have to ask them. And then they have to do an honest assessment of where the fuck they're at. Like, they can't lie to themselves and say, well, you know, I'm not that fat. No, just be honest with yourself. Like, if you're fat, just say you're fat. Fuck, man. Like, what? Why do we have to sugarcoat everything? We have to sugarcoat the truth. Like, what's actually...
Especially to ourselves.
Well, yeah. I mean, because, you know, you can't, you don't want to do the death blow. Like, you know, like, you don't want to put somebody in such a fucking deep depression that I don't think they're ever going to get out of it. But if somebody's fat, like, God forbid you tell them they're actually fucking fat. It's like, you got some work to do. Like, but I would ask them, you know, what do you value? And what do you think, like, what's a man? Like, where's that worth at to you right now? Like, where are you at on the fucking scale of 1 to 10? Like,
relative to what you value.
Relative to what you value. And most of them can't answer that. They cannot answer that question. Like,
I like that. That's even better than my thought. My thought is asking them what they want. But I'm going to change this to what Coop with, because I think that's better. Because some guys just don't know what they want. It's like, you know, they come up and they'll be like, well, I want to be healthy and fit. Okay, do you want to be healthy or you want to be fit or somewhere in between? You know, it's like,
always correlate.
Well, yeah.
What does that even mean? Does that mean I don't want to have diabetes anymore? What the fuck does that even mean? There's no specificity to it. It's like, you know, I want my diabetes to go away.
I just want to be better.
I want to be better. Yeah.
Well, fuck, I just want to do better.
I want to be stronger.
Go do better.
Thank you.
Stronger how?
Yeah.
That's how I've started. It's like, what do you want out of life? Where do you want to go? But I like the value idea better. I think I need to switch gears. That's a good one. I like that.
Because truly,
judging yourself, like, it's like you're setting that standard for yourself and then you have to judge yourself against it.
Exactly. Like, am I meeting the standard? Am I like, because it,
and it maybe in some areas you are goals. In other areas you aren't,
right? Exactly. And you know, like, you can't men take their foot off the gas way too early when they're doing self-improvement. They take their foot off the gas because I think they've made it when they haven't. Because you go back and because like all four of us here know, like, you're fucking never done. Your work is never done, right? It's like Sisyphus and the fucking rock. You're never done. So you're going back and you're adjusting your goals and you're doing, you know, it's like, okay, well, I've made it here, but what's next? And so that, you know, all that shit ties into to goal setting. You know, values, being honest with yourself, all that shit is tied together into really being a more complete man. That's just my opinion. But
it's not always fun.
It sucks.
I was thinking about the other. I was driving to Colorado this weekend, and it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. She's asleep, and I could just, that's all I could think about. It's never over. The work is never fucking over. I'm like, God, why am I thinking about this right now? Fucking Nebraska, I tell you what.
Yeah. Wow. That's not wrong.
No, I think when you do an honest assessment, like if you are honest with yourself, you look in the mirror and you look at your finances and you look at where you're at in your life and where you want to be, because your value, this is what you value. This is what you want, right? It's essentially, I don't want to say it's the same thing, but I mean, it can correlate, right? And you could say, okay, well, I got this hill to climb, so I'm going to climb that hill. But you got to say, okay, this is where I'm starting from. This is where I'm starting from. And I think, you know, when you're rolling that rock up the hill, to get to where you want to go, you know, you have those obstacles in the way, but you can't go around it. You got to go through it. So that's the only answer. It's like, you got to keep going. And
yeah, the obstacle is the way, kind of thing.
Yeah. And guys quit way too early. They quit way too early. And they take their foot off the gas because they think they can go on cruise control, and you fucking can't. Like, you can't, because like CJ said, like, the work is never done, man. Like, it's never done. There's always something more. There's always something better. You know, as far as like for me, like, career wise, I've set that shit on autopilot because I just don't care. Like, I'm not trying to get promoted. I'm not trying, like, I make good money. I'm not worried about that shit. Like, I'm not, the only thing that I worry about.
But you're good. You're in a good spot. Yeah. Where you can maintain. I'm in a good
spot.
Yeah.
But also there's other things that I want to do. Like, I want to do some coaching. I want to do more podcast stuff. I want to do maybe go like dip into YouTube. I lost my words. God, that's a switch for me. I want to collaborate with some folks on some stuff and really start putting myself out there a little bit more. And just because this is the kind of stuff that I like to do, right? This is the kind of stuff that I enjoy. Like, my day job is a distraction during the day because I'd rather be doing this. But I think if I ever get to a point where I can actually make some fucking real money doing this, I would just much rather be doing this.
Yeah, that's fair. Know? Absolutely fair. And sometimes too, like, it's not that we have to start pushing the rock. It's like, we have to get ourselves out from underneath that fucking rock. Right. Dude, which could be a chore in and of itself.
So,
and then you got to start rolling that fucker up the hill. And like you said, how often do you want to take a break? And so I just need to wipe my brow for a second. And then
the rock rolls back right on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine being that guy who stayed under that rock for 50 or 60 years?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
some of those people don't even know they're under the rock.
A lot of them don't.
And I think a lot of them almost more sad. Really,
I think that either knowing you're under the rock and not doing anything to get out from underneath it, and or not knowing, are probably your highest risk for suicide among men.
No, you know, like, I think I agree if you're under the rock and you know it, but I think the guys that are ignorant, I'm going to go with ignorance is bliss. I hate that. They don't know different. You know, if you don't know different, and that's just the way it is.
But let me ask you this, Nathan. Okay, let me ask you this, because I think this is important. So when you started improving your life, right? Like, when you started, you know, making the changes that you wanted to make because you weren't living up to your own personal standards, right? Okay, what made you want to change? Was it because
I wanted to go back to how I used to be?
Okay. Because you knew how your living wasn't right, right?
Right.
Like you had a feeling, right? Like,
yeah,
you knew
exactly.
You know deep down, like, and then I think a lot.
I went downhill.
So I can't say that ignorance is bliss, because it's like,
okay, it's okay. When I say ignorance is bliss, I'm thinking of that guy. To me, this is like a personal opinion, and I'm thinking that goes into the factory every day and works that widget, whatever that widget is. He does it. Here's even a better one. And a buddy of mine went and applied for the job and they asked him to try it out for a day. What it was is, you got to go sit in the boiler room and watch gauges. And every hour you'd get up and have to mark what the gauges said. You couldn't leave the room. You had to take your lunch in there with you. The reason the job came open, it was a state job, and the guy had been there for 40-some years.
Fuck my life, man.
Whoa. That's the guy that I'm going with that's ignorant. I don't know what he did. That was the whole job. You come in for 8 hours or 12. No, it was a 12-hour shift. They had two guys on off type thing. You come in and you look at boiler gauges and mark them down for an hour. That's all the job. It paid well. The guy before him had done it for 40 years, retired from the state with whatever, da-da-da-da-da. And he may have had an awesome life outside of it, and he hated that his job. That's good. But I'm saying, to me, that's ignorant is bliss. To me, there's a lot better jobs than going sitting there. Maybe not for him.
That's to me, thinking, it's bliss, honestly. He could be fucking miserable, but he's only staying because of the money. That isn't...
But my thought is, for someone that does a job like that, they don't realize it sucks. We all have a hard time comprehending, especially you, CJ. You and I couldn't last 15 minutes doing a job like that because we want to be in a truck moving around outside. We can't do office space. Neither one of us can. So it's even harder for us.
I'm actually trying to get in the office.
But I'm saying that we got to have those people because that it's an important job, because if the boiler goes bad, so somebody's got to do it. It takes a certain personality. And I think there's certain people out there that just go, you know, that I bet you anything, the guy had a roof over his head, never missed a meal, went in, clocked out like clockwork or whatever. Maybe even had a fun tilt or whatever, but you don't do a 40-year boring ass job, what I consider boring ass, with not having a little bit, I could have something better. Because
that's a life resigned.
But I think there's some ignorance in there. They don't know any better. They just, this is it.
I can agree to a certain extent. He's ignorant because he thinks there's probably nothing better that he could do to make that amount of money.
Right.
But I'm also not thinking that he's, when you say ignorance is bliss, that's making me think that he's actually enjoying those 40 hours a week standing in front of there is 0% chance that anybody's enjoying that. No, I'm saying that
ignorance is bliss, not that he's blissed. I'm not saying he's happy. I'm saying it's the ignorance is a good thing. He doesn't know any better. To him, it is a good thing.
Well, and like Coop was saying earlier too, right? It's like, what do we know? Maybe, like you said, Nate, the dude had what he wanted, or he came, you know, he grew up, you know, coming out of the Depression or something. It didn't have jack squat, or his parents didn't, or got laid off or fired or whatever. And he got this job and he's happy to have it, and it paid the bills, and he didn't have to worry about, you know, wasn't really that great, wasn't that terrible either. Like, who knows? Like, again, how much of that is projecting our own shit
on them?
Well, let's go ahead, Coop.
Yeah, and that, excuse me, that's true, because, you know, like, I work in the federal government, so it's like you see guys that have their, you know, they have their mouth in the feed bag of the fucking USG for a number of years, and, you know, and then they turn 80 and decide they're going to retire after being there for like 50, 60 years or whatever, man. It's fucking insane to me. It's insane to me. But at the same time, maybe, like you said, maybe I'm projecting some shit onto them. Maybe they grew up during the Depression and dad didn't have a job. And, you know, you go from job to job. And they wanted the most secure fucking job they could find. And that's doing what they're doing now. And that's what they've always done.
Yep.
And
it's hard for us looking at them going, there's more out there. Not for me.
Is there? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jesus
Christ. And to have somebody go, is there more out there? And you're like,
But I think that goes back to like knowing your value and everything. I like that, Coop. What do you value? That's a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, personally, like, I knew there was more. Like, I knew that I knew at some point, like, happiness would come. Like, but I just didn't know. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to get there. I didn't know what it meant to really even be a man. Like it was just lost. I was just fucking beaten down. I was beaten down. And, but I knew there was, you know, something better, something bigger for me personally. And I was just determined to find it and determined to get it. And that was it for me.
Yeah. Well, and then the cool thing too is once you do some, there's a point at which you accomplish something or, you know, you hit a certain level, you do enough work where it's not, it's like, oh, now what do I value? Maybe it's all the same things, but what about this? Or like, it's, I don't know. It's like, once you get to a certain altitude, like you can look out and go, ooh, that looks cool. I'd like to go try that one, or, you know, whatever. It's like, and then you also have the confidence of what you just accomplished. Like, I just climbed this, maybe it's a hill relative to mountains, but, you know, it was huge for me. I went from zero sea level to 10 feet. You know, yeah.
Twice your height.
And maybe for some folks that's, you know, that's the huge first step. I ran for the first time today to the end of my driveway, but I ran. Right. Now I'm running around the block and now I can do, you know, 5K, no problem or whatever. But it's like, I think I'll try, you know, a half marathon or something, you know, or whatever. Or
I'd love to see CJ do a half marathon.
After his pedicure.
Yep. I think you should start training for one of those, CJ.
Get fucked.
But even get lifting fucked. Too, right? It's like you start working out and you start lifting. Oh, I think I'm going to try doing 405 squats or what deadlift, right? Deadlift, like that seems to be the big thing. I need to do 405. I need to do 500 for my whatever the thing is. But because you do the work, you've done some work, then that builds confidence in yourself, which makes you want to take risks or try something new or something different or find some area
or just chase. How about take risks to chase what you actually want?
Yeah.
Instead of taking the
maybe
easy
that's
road.
Where I was going. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But how many of us go? Yeah.
Well, I mean, like you're much more risk averse with a family. Mm. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you're in your 20s when you're unmarried or whatever, you're much more willing to accept risk because there's no one else, you know, nobody else's is on the table. Like if anybody's balls are getting chopped off, it's yours, you know. But you know, once you have a family to think about, you become much more risk averse because now you have to think about feeding your family and how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that, what if this happens and what if that happens. I mean, there's so many other variables and factors for someone who has a family than someone who doesn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. That certainly factors into things.
Well, we're circling a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we've been doing good. Well, I'm glad you could hop on here, Coop. This has been great.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I love coming on and I love talking to you guys. So chopping it up with you guys. So it's been fantastic. I mean, even seeing CJ was good, so.
You like seeing my ugly mug every once in a while, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You don't get to see it as much as you want. So these little tidbits are just enough.
Yeah. Just enough. Usually Jimmy keeps them all covered up in his bed so no one else can see him.
Snuggled up to his ginormous biceps that are not photoshopped at all.
And with that, we'll call it a night.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast on our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world.
An apex predator. Alien to a civilized world.